Blog Talk Radio.
I've been changed. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I went down to the water, and the water, it was so cold that it chilled my body, but it did not touch my soul. Oh, you know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. You know that I know I've been changed. The angel in heaven done signed my name. Jesus is on the mainland. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus is on the mainland. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus is on the mainland. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. Now, if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that if you are sick and you can't get well, come on and tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. For his line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus' line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus' line is never busy. Come on and tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. For Jesus is on the mainland. Tell him what you want. Oh, I know that Jesus is on the mainland. Tell him what you want. Whoa, I know that Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. You just call him up and tell him what you want. Good morning, good morning. Hope, trust, and pray that you guys are feeling wonderful today. Welcome to the Praise God, Let's Talk About It radio show. My name is Evangelist Michael Peavy, and we're just glad to be here this morning. The Lord has woke us this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. We are just so excited about what God is doing in our lives. We're just so excited about what God is doing with the Golgotha Church of Christ Ministry. We're just so excited about wonderful things that are happening as God continues to move and in and out and through and build us up from the inside out so we can permeate his life, beam his light out into the world. It is such a pleasure. It is such an honor to be a child of God and to know that God saw fit to give us another chance, come on somebody, another opportunity to serve him even on this wonderful day. We've got a wonderful show set up for today. Looking forward to talking to our deacon, our new deacon, Garvin Whitehead, as he is a you've heard him talk about Whiz Kids, and you've heard, you know, back in the early days, he had the pinball wizards, you know. Well, this is a whiz in computer knowledge, and he has done some great study in regards to various things that deal with computer things and how it applies to today. Is that we are going to be talking about how it has affected today's youth, both pro and con. And so many times some of the woes that we see in society may be based off of some of the games and some of the atmospheres or even some of the advancement of technology where things are no longer chaste or no longer modest, but they're more risque and they're more vibrant and they're more real to life. And so what happens in the psychological minds of many and young that they end up playing out as if they're playing a video game in real life, only to find themselves in trouble or dead later on down the road. And I think that is a big problem with today's society. So he has some information on that he's going to share with us, and I'm looking forward to that. But also we're going to talk today about power struggle. And power struggles are interesting because if you really think about it, isn't there always some kind of a struggle? And doesn't that usually come down to some kind of a power struggle when you start to see what kind of a relationship or with some, you know, something going on at the job or different things like that? You know, a power struggle refers to an evident or subtle competition in a relationship for control. You're either looking for control, excuse me, or you're looking for that other word, which is called influence. Control or influence, and there's always a power struggle, competition for one or the other. And so, no matter how much you have in common with someone, inevitably, you likely end up disagreeing about something or on something, right? Even though two great minds think alike, there's still two great minds that are individual. And so the disagreeing is not the problem, but disagreeing on the point isn't the same as fighting for power with the opposite, with the opposition or with your partner or with whoever you are in struggle or in competition with. And so it's great when you take a gladiator mentality when you're dealing with sports or you're dealing with different types of things of that nature, but we got to know how to turn them off when we're dealing with social relationships because nobody wins when everyone gets destroyed. Amen, somebody. I know that's right. power struggles often manifest as a push to get your way or to get my way. On many important topics, where opinions, and everyone has one, a quarter an opinion ain't going to get you too far today. But your opinion or your vision may differ. This may involve ignoring your partner's perspective, ignoring your partner's needs, crossing boundaries that have been set, and so on and so on. So what ends up happening? You end up fighting for influence and controlling positioning, right? It's almost like tug of war, so to speak, where, you know, you want more of the rope on your side than on the other side. And there's a fight for that, right, as to where the boundary line is. We just can't be balanced. We have to be one. One side has to have more power than the other. And so this fighting for influence and control may become evident early in the relationship or later in the relationship. But in some cases, it only turns into a roadblock when important topics are discussed and not resolved. And so we're going to talk today about power struggles in relationships, maybe some of the causes, some of the signs, hopefully some tips on how to resolve those things, whether or not to have children, parenting styles, where to live or where to go on vacation. These are things that we fight for control over, can fight for influence over, how to spend and how to make money. Lord have mercy. How to spend money and how to make money is a big one. Religious beliefs, religious practices, moral, political, and ethical matters, as well as lifestyle choices. These all become issues of influence. These all become issues of control. And besides the differences in opinion and the differences in perspective, power struggles may also result from one partner's emotional challenges. And many times when you recognize, we look at things in a black and white scenario, how it looks platonically. But a lot of times we are motivated or we are pushed not by how things look on paper or how well it fits together, but we're really motivated by our emotions. And our emotions are the things that push us one way or another and keep us somewhat unbalanced. So it's in these insecure attachment styles of life that lead us sometimes to resign to their influence about important matters. And we find ourselves in states of rejection, fear of abandonment, personality disorders like narcissistic personalities or antisocial personalities. And sometimes it may make someone more likely to want or exert control and power over their partner. So we look to talk about that a little bit later on in today's show. And let's see who we have on this morning. Just so glad to have, we see a few callers are on already this morning. I believe this is my mother here. Let's see. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, baby. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mom. How you doing there in Iowa?
I'm doing fine. I'm keeping my phone muted because my TV is turned way up and I cannot find the thing to turn it down. So I hope you can hear me.
Right. Okay, yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah.
We're just trying to check in to see who we have on already.
Because
I have numbers to pop up, but I don't have names pop up. But, I want to say happy Memorial Day to all those that are out there today. I mean, I know it's not till Monday officially, but people are celebrating and starting that weekend now. And so,
it's your grandmother's birthday on Monday.
Yes, that's on the 29th. What would have been her year? Do you know?
It was close to 100. I'm not quite sure what it was. Matter of fact, I was going to hopefully Satara would come on because she probably knew that I don't know if it's 33 or 23. I can't remember, but it was close to 100.
This year's born. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. That's awesome. So. All right. Let's see who's on this other line. Hang on. Let's see here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who am I speaking with? Oh, Brother Garvin, what's going on? I have numbers on my switchboard, so I don't have any names attached to it, Doc. So wonderful. Well, how you feeling this morning?
Good to talk to you. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, we're doing marvelous. We're doing marvelous. We've got one more person I want to introduce this on here, and then we'll come back to you and get you started for your session, Doc. And it's just good to hear you. How's Smiley this morning? She doing all right?
She's still laying down. You know, she works late.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Be back to you in 1 second. Hold on 1 second, Brother Garvin. Got that. All right. And then let's see who this caller is. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So Tyler, what's going on?
What's going on? It's May 29th, 1926.
1926 is her birthday. So she would have been 97.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be, would be 97, our grandmother would be. My mother's mother and my grandmother would be. She was trying to figure out the actual year. We know it was approaching that century mark. So wonderful. How are you down there in Houston, H-Town?
I'm tired. My friend had her twins early this morning.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Had twins.
Well, we need to
pray. All babies are healthy and safe.
One is still in heart surgery, and the other was rushed to the NICU for underdeveloped lungs and jaundice.
And they were preemies? Okay. We're going to keep them in prayer. How is she doing? How's the mother?
They got her. When I'm talking to her, I just hung up with her. She's incoherent, so I don't know if it's the medicine or not. She's up there by herself, so I'm gonna get some rest and go back up there. But the babies are Tekken and Madden. Those are their names, boys.
Okay, all right, two boys. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell her we said, you know, congratulations, and we're praying for her health and her recovery, and then also praying for the babies as they continue to gain strength, and the doctors and nurses that are God provided for the physical body. And so we're so glad to have them this morning. All right, we'll be back to you in a little bit, and then I see my wife is on. Good morning, dear. How are you? Marie, good morning.
Good morning. Did you get my message?
I did not get a message. Or did you? If you texted, I have not read it yet.
Mm-hmm. It's on a text.
Okay. We're just calling to see how you. I'm just going through the lines to see how everyone's doing this morning, and we're getting ready.
I'm doing Read my text, please.
Okay, well, we'll have to read it later.
All right. I think you should read it now.
Now it goes on, says they're charging us 1 cent per minute to continue the call. Is this 8?
All right.
Okay. Is that right? I guess so. Yeah, I guess it might be right. I don't know. I'll have to check into that. But how are you this morning?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay. All right, let's get to Brother Garvin, who is on right now. Go back to him right this moment. We're so excited to have our newly deacon of the Golgotha Church of Christ, but he is a technician in regards to computer science and troubleshooting and all kinds of wonderful things that come with trying to keep your computers from being spyware and all the crazy stuff that comes from that. He is has been doing this quite a few years, and has been is finishing his master's degree in those various areas. And so today we're looking at an overall theme of the evolution of technology and how it has blinded or compromised the minds of today's youth. And so again, we want to welcome and introduce to some, and he's a resident poet as well and a married man of some 33 years, and so glad to have him as our guest today, as our main guest today, Brother Garvin Whitehead. Good morning, Brother Garvin. How are you, Doc?
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing? Good to hear you.
Everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. How are things? How's the weather down there in North Carolina? You're outside of Charlotte, correct?
Well, I'm in Charlotte. I'm in the city proper.
You're in Charlotte. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How's the weather there this morning?
It's cooler than usual. It's in the 60s this morning.
Okay. Okay. Is it supposed to stay there? Or
not bad, but no, it's actually going to be cool this weekend because it's just unusual.
It dropped
down to
40-some last night.
Oh,
it dropped down to 40-some last night here, but then now it's back up to 64, and it's supposed to be in the 70s, and I think it's going to get raised all the way up through the 80s through Memorial Day. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it might get warmer by the end of the weekend, but we're going to have precipitation, so I think that's what, that's what's going
on. So let's get into what we're talking about. I mean, I love you so much, and we're so glad to work together. But really excited about having you as a guest this morning, getting an opportunity to interview you and see what, what little knowledge you could share with us, some layman stuff that will help us. We've been dealing with trying to help today's youth. And, you were talking about the fact that you had some study or you had some information that you would like to share with us in regards to how the technology has evolved and blinded our eyes. So first and foremost, let me ask this question. How long have you been doing computers, and how long have you been seeing this trend go on where it's been kind of an upward trend of positivity but also a negativity?
Well, I was actually educated as a programmer analyst, which by today's verb, which would be, I'd be called an IT developer. As far as my technician work, I taught myself how to do that outside of school. That's kind of that's a different line of work actually, but that's not what I did as in the corporate sector. As far as to give you a preview, I've seen the trends go, whereas computer games have gotten more immersive, as they have gotten more leaning towards high definition, because that's what drove the high definition technology that exists today. It came from the digital side, because at one time, as you know, all TVs were analog.
Analog, yeah.
But when computer monitors got to the point where they had a much higher quality, they switched everything over, and then everything became digital. That's why it happened. So I mean, when that happened, it started before then, and I can get into it if you want as far as the history. For example, in 1975, Atari released the home version of Pong from their their Atari. And in 1977, they released the 2600. Well, what happened was the 2600 was the first time they released a colorized.
Okay.
Now, the quality of a game and the quality of a movie are not interchangeable. And then now we have the ability to create something called virtual reality or augmented reality. Have you ever heard of that?
Right. I've heard of virtual reality. I never heard it called argumentative reality.
No, augmented reality.
Augmented reality. Okay. Yeah, I heard that wrong. I was like, wow. Yeah, augmented reality. Okay. I can see that.
You know the difference between the two, right?
Why don't you help us to understand what that is?
Okay. Virtual reality means that you put on a helmet and or some separate headphones if need be, but sometimes they come with the helmet. And now you're in a place where this helmet allows you that if you turn your head and your hearing is augmented, your hearing is virtual as well, to make it seem as though you're standing or moving in a completely different space.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's a fully immersive experience that's supposed to make you feel as though you're somewhere else, as though you're literally, you know, inside a computer or inside a simulation or inside a game.
Yeah. Okay.
And augmented reality is different in this way. Augmented reality takes what your surroundings look like and then adds certain things. Like you could be fighting aliens, or you could see monsters chasing you, or you could be, you know, fighting in a war, and it would look like graphics added to your surroundings. That's why it's called augmented, because it's altered.
So you're saying, let me take a layman's view of this. You're saying that the surrounding I'm in now, it would add to that, but I would still be, like, say, I'm looking at Buckland Fountain, but all of a sudden I see an alien or something along with that. That would be augmented reality, where virtual reality would actually take me and transport me from Buckland Fountain maybe to the United Center or somewhere else where something else is going on. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So go ahead in your presentation of what we're looking at here.
Okay. So when we talk about gaming, I've been gaming for about 40 years. I started gaming around the age of 9, and I remember playing Pong, and that came out shortly before I was born, about 10 years before I was born. But anyway.
Okay.
The gaming platforms now, gaming is allowed to happen on not just personal computers, not just platform devices such as the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox, what have you, but you can also game on mobile devices. If your phone has any power at all, it can game. If you have a tablet and it has any power at all, like an iPad, any iPad you can play rather advanced video games on it. Like some people assume that you have to have a dedicated system. That's not true. You can actually play Grand Theft Auto, for example, on an iPad. I mean, just for myself, for example, I am an avid gamer. I have been for many years. I have 3 gaming systems, but I also have 2 computers that are capable of gaming very well and perhaps have better graphics than my actual PS5. Now, people might ask the question, why do games affect children? Why do games affect teenagers and that sort of thing? What makes them wield this influence? Well, you might want to compare it to some other things, like compare it to, like, for example, movies or rap music or popular music or the internet itself.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things create cultures or subcultures, and any technology or a creation or medium that can create a culture or subculture can create generational influence. Just like television had a generational influence. You know, back in the day, we could plan our children in front of the TV, and we would know what they were watching because it was obvious on the TV. You know, it wasn't necessarily portable because of the size of the TV. That's not true anymore. Now you can watch TV on your phone. You can watch TV on your tablet. You can watch TV on your laptop. The
That's
same
right.
thing is true for gaming. So, I mean, and also the other thing that has changed is that because they're interchangeable in this fashion, you have games that become movies and movies that become games. I'll give you an example. People have created styles and behaviors based on movies. So the same thing is true for gaming and the internet. I'll give you an example of a game that gained such a popularity that it became a series. We have The Last of Us. Have you ever heard of The Last of Us?
The Last Bus?
Yeah, The Last of Us. It's a series. It's a series called The Last of Us on HBO. It's relatively.
Oh, The Last of Us. No, I have not. My wife may have, but I have not. No.
Okay. The Last of Us was a game. In fact, they made two games. They made two releases where they continued the storyline. But the game gained such popularity that they made a series on HBO, and it's now on HBO Max. If you were to go look, I mean, it shows every. They had a new season. They're going to have a new season coming next year. Now, the reason why this is so concerning is because this series, following along with the game, promotes homosexuality, promotes violence. Now, granted, it's supposed to be post-apocalyptic, but then it's got this anything goes mentality that you know, when it comes to sexuality. And all the people that are involved, a great number of them are young people. And it presents homosexuality and lesbianism as though it's a normal outlet. And it's an attack and it's an affront on our Christian values. But see, when you play a game, especially for a child, if the child hasn't been reared properly, that wields an incredible amount of influence, especially if it's got enough influence to be made into a TV series.
Yeah, that's a powerful thing you said, man, because I just went out and got it, you want to buy a gift or buy something for a holiday or a gift for, get this game. I really ain't done no research on the game. You know, I guess I need to, but I have not. I'm just, just trying to reward the child for doing well in school or whatever else, not knowing that, man, I maybe open them up to something that that is not of our value system as it is. So that's interesting that you found that out, man. I didn't know that.
I hate to tell you this, Pastor, but it's way worse than that. It's worse than what we think it is. You've heard of Grand Theft Auto, haven't you?
I've heard the game Grand Theft Auto. I've never played it, but everyone is talking crazy about that game.
There's a reason. I mean, I've played just about every version. There are some offshoots that I haven't played, but the latest major release is Grand Theft Auto 5, and they've had all the first one that was 3D that was really caught on big, that stepped into a level of realism with the great music, the historic music, I should say, that came along with it from the 80s and so forth, was Grand Theft Auto 3. But now there's Grand Theft Auto 5, and I can tell you a little bit about it just from my experience. People are encouraged to steal cars, shoot pedestrians and police. Does have good music, or at least music from the past and music from the present, but they're somewhat very realistic graphics, especially today's version, and a wide variety of weapons and vehicles, including private jets. Money is earned by committing high-profile crimes, including contract murder. And there are serious repercussions from this kind of, influence on the child. And also, I wanted to talk about some of the other games that are heavily influencing our children. There are a lot of many other games that have either become movies or were games first and then became movies, or started out as movies or trilogies and then became games. For example, there's Mortal Kombat, which was a game first. In fact, Mortal Kombat is a specific interest to me because I played it when it first came out of the arcade. It was the first game that realistically showed blood and violence. Did you know about it then?
I remember that one.
Did you know about the fatalities?
You know, I'm not going to say that I'm a gamer, so to speak, but I didn't, I would see that, but I didn't think, you know, much of it at that time.
Okay, I'm explaining to you. In each of these, and this game has multiple what are called fatalities, that there are nicer. The programmers, they, as a joke, they made some forms of fatalities that were supposedly not violent, and that's true, but it was a joke because the violent ones were still there. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
The character Sub-Zero, in the first Sub-Zero game, if I remember right, what he does is he reaches in, grabs a person, the other fighter's spine, and rips the head off with the spine attached and lifts it up like a trophy with all the blood squirting out. Okay, and it looks real. It's a very realistic looking game, especially today's version. But what I'm saying is the very first Mortal Kombat was realistic looking. It was digital images of real people. And some of the people looked like famous people you might recognize, but they were dressed up to look like those people. They had a guy that looked like Van Damme. They had a guy that looked like Bruce Lee. And they actually looked like those people. And if I remember right, when the game was first delivered to one of the larger locations in Chicago that had video games, they had one of the people dressed up as the character who showed up with the game when the game was delivered. So, I mean, we have Resident Evil. If you ever heard of that, it's about zombies, but they were created from a virus. That was a game that became a blockbuster list of movies. I think they made 9 movies off of that game series.
Wow.
But there are so many. I think there were 7 or 8. I've lost count because I played so many of them at this point. I don't even remember how many Resident Evil games there are. The Lord of the Rings trilogy was a movie trilogy first, and then they made a series of games from that. But that, if I remember right, that was movies first. It was and X-Men and Harry Potter, this goes on. But, I wanted to talk a little bit about what kind of influence these have. It, not only does it cause intentional exposure of alternate lifestyles, supposedly, you know, homosexuality, that's the politically correct way to say it. There's also drug abuse, alcohol abuse, extremely foul language, and sexual immorality other than homosexuality. And it creates us an environment, an electronic environment that desensitizes youth and sometimes young adults to violence. And I'm going to get into some examples of how that happened, but before I do, I want to talk a little bit about the history, if that's okay, of a video game.
Yeah, please do. Please do, because
okay.
Man, already you're piquing my interest based on the fact that, you know, I mean, I remember playing Mortal Kombat a little bit. I mean, I've never been a real gamer, but, you know, you enjoyed the karate stuff and whatever else, and sure, we all used to get some nunchucks and go at it whatsoever else, but now you're showing me how this is having an influence on today's society because it just continues to gets more visual, more real. Real to life, and then more responsive, and so, man, I can see how that's you know on minds that are not balanced, how that can really have an influence and a shift on some mental illness stuff. Yeah, please give me
that. And also, okay, I'll go to that, and then we'll get back to some examples because I have some right here in front of me. In 1967. Developers at Sanders Associates created the Brown Box, which was a game system. Odyssey was the first video game console created in 1972. Then in 1975, Atari released the home version of Pong, and I remember playing that, actually. In 1977, Atari released the 2600. Space Invaders arcade game came out in 1978, if I remember right. It was it came out for the 2600. Then the launch of Activision happened in 1979. Pac-Man was released in the United States. Donkey Kong was released in the United States. In 1983,
that was
a major
right there,
crash.
Donkey Kong.
I liked it, too. I liked it, too. I played it, too. It was relatively nonviolent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I liked about it. In 1983, there was a crash because of oversaturation in the game market, but then there was a bounce back. In 1985, Nintendo released the Nintendo Entertainment Center, which had improved 8-bit graphics, and, you know, it just means number of colors available. But it was still analog, and still used the analog TV. And then in 1989, Nintendo released a handheld game, and they had Tetris. In 1989, mm-hmm. Sega released its 16-bit Genesis as a successor to its 1986 Sega Master System. And then in 1991, the 16-bit Super NES console in North America was released, and that started the first console war. And in the 1990s, Street Fighter II and Mortal Kombat were released. Video Game Rating Council was created in 1993 to create a rating because of all of the violence that now existed in video games. So then in 95, Sega released its Saturn, the first 32-bit console. So, I mean, if you look further down the line, in 2005 and 2006, the Xbox 360, I still have one, PlayStation 3, and Nintendo Wii kicked off the modern age of high-definition gaming. Then there was the PlayStation 3, which had Blu-ray, was the first one to have a Blu-ray, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
Shortly after 2007, around 2007, there was the Kinect was added for the 360. Now, eighth generation began the release of Nintendo Wii U in 2002, followed by PlayStation 4, Xbox One in 2013. The U was discontinued, but later, as you know, there was the release in 2020, Sony released the PlayStation 5. And just before that, Xbox released the Series X and the Series S. And the PlayStation 5 was released to compete with it. So, I mean, we're talking about a pretty long history. And the interesting thing is if you look at the history of the Internet, it's not that different. And the reason why it's very similar is because all these systems eventually come to depend on the Internet. And while the Internet speeds increase dramatically, that increases the gaming potential of children. So while their parents are in the home thinking that they're keeping an eye on their children, they have no idea what their children are being exposed to because these speeds are so fast that you can play a game without even downloading it first. Even on a console system, on a PlayStation 4, I don't know if you know this, but on a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 5, you can actually sit down and with the proper speed of the Internet, you can play a game without downloading the game at all. Then the person can delete the game without even having put it on the hard drive, and the parent will never know that the game was even played. So there are tools to keep track. There are tools to keep track of this, but it has to be an intentional thing. I want to talk a little bit about what happens when the use of video games is out of control. Okay, the first case I want to discuss is with Justin Williams. And, let me read this to you. In July of 2012, 20-year-old Justin Osborne of Peterborough, Ontario, heard a lot of urine coming from his neighbor's house and went to investigate. It turns out that his 21-year-old Justin Williams were arguing with several others via headset while playing World of Warcraft. I played that, by the way. Osborne told Williams that there was no need to freak out so much since it was just a game. The worst words you can say to a hardcore gamer. Williams told Osborne, it's not just a game, it's my life. Grabbed him by the throat, punched him, and finally stabbed him in the chest. Osborne was treated for a wound and survived while Williams was arrested. This is a real case, Pastor. Okay, let me read you.
So the mentality is not just the game, it's my life. I heard you say
that's
that
what
clear.
He said. Yes, a 21-year-old said
that's
that.
That's a mega mental shift. Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Christian Rivera from Oklahoma was 14 years old when he killed his 9-month-old sister, Linda. Rivera was playing Call of Duty, which is like a military-type game where you're shooting and fighting the enemy. Black Ops, when his sister began crying from a fall. Her sister crying, her crying distracted his gameplay, and he died in the game. Frustrated, he picked up his sister and shook her violently before putting her back to bed. She was hospital when her parents returned that evening. She died three days later with a fractured skull and blood clots.
Lord,
Rivera was tried and convicted as a minor and housed in Juvenile Justice Center. Here's another event. In 2010, in Rainham, Massachusetts, two youths were accused of trying to set fire to a garage in an apartment building with makeshift Mazel Tov cocktails made of beer and root beer bottles with wicks from chair covers. Now, the 16-year-old admitted to making the bombs and stealing 5 gallons of gasoline. The 12-year-old says they got the idea from Grand Theft Auto, which they had been playing that night. Now, I know for a fact that you play with Mazel Tovs. You have to, in some of the missions, you have to use Mazel Tov cocktails in Grand Theft Auto 5. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
You know, I heard, I remember when people were doing that and taking Molotov cocktails and starting fires in houses and et cetera. Back in Iowa, I'm thinking, let's see, it had to be 80s. Yeah, it had to be the late 70s or 80s when I started hearing about that. But I really didn't connect that to no game, man.
Well, not in the 80s. I don't think Grand Theft Auto, at least not any versions like what we have today, they didn't exist in the 80s. But the thing is that these young children, these, you know, preteen and teenagers got the idea from Grand Theft Auto.
Well, see, that poses another interest because what you're saying is something that may have been real to life, they're now taking this destructive thing and placing it in the games, which is now placing it in the subconscious minds of the youth or whoever plays the game as if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And we have even cases that are even more traumatic than that. This South Korean couple met through online gambling, and they had a child together. Unfortunately, the child was born prematurely but survived. More unfortunately, her parents became obsessed with caring for their virtual baby. You understand, a virtual baby online that grows like a virtual pet. Not real,
hold on,
but through the computer.
Now you done blown my mind. Now you done blown my
mind.
They let
their real child die.
Are you telling me that there's two gamers in different areas that have now created a virtual baby?
Yeah, but no, they actually met. They actually met and had a real baby, and they let their real baby die because they were paying so much attention to the virtual baby.
Lord have mercy.
Now, granted,
you're really helping me and helping others to see, you know, how this is really infecting our minds. It's really becoming a cancer scenario. If this is what's true to life, or this is what's viewed as true to life, man, we got to try to turn this thing around somehow, some way, and I don't know how. But go ahead, bro.
Yeah. This is the last guy. Gavin Allen Prince was 15 years old when he was arrested for killing his great-grandmother in 2011 after he was told to stop playing a video game. Gavin got his samurai sword and stabbed the 77-year-old woman He also cut his 55-year-old grandmother, who then barricaded herself in a room and called the police. Now, he was eventually tasered and arrested.
I can't even absolve all that. Go back over that again. He did what?
He killed his great-grandmother after being told to stop playing a video game. And then he stabbed his grandmother. His 55-year-old grandmother who barricaded it, she survived. While she was there, ran outside and chased two young neighbors, both of whom managed to get to safety. There was a standoff with the police, who Gevin shot with a pellet gun before being tasered and arrested. This was the third time in 3 months he had been arrested for violence, and he had already had another sword confiscated. That means this boy had had violent problems because of the video games before.
What I heard is this. He was instructed by his great-grandmother or his grandmother to not play this game. And his will overrode their will, and he ended up killing the great-grandmother and took a stab at the grandmother and chased these neighbors or whatever else because he just wanted to be disobedient or because he was in a trance.
You could put it that way. You're not far off by making that comparison, and I'm going to tell you why I know that. Because I may not be influenced the way these young people have been, but I can remember as a young person, even playing video games on the system that I purchased for myself as a teenager in the 80s, and sometimes I would be up all night not realizing how long I had played a game. There is a very trance-like effect when you're playing the game, if you're really into it, if you're really a gamer. And so, I mean, that can happen. I mean, but these people are taken to a level where it's affected their whole thinking and their whole mentality and how they behave in the real world.
Well, you know, it makes sense to me that, you know, when you talk about virtual reality or augmented reality, it is, you know, your reality is what you see. And what it is, and so based off your perception. So yeah, you're putting yourself, because we transport ourselves in songs, we transport ourselves in lyrics, in situations. So I can see someone, you know, that is really into the game transporting themselves. But I think what I'm having to struggle with is not knowing the difference between moral right and moral wrong.
It's not something I understand.
That's where I'm struggling with. Because you should be able to turn it. I mean, man, I could watch a movie. Oh, man. Well, I, you know, no, but I guess because of my upbringing, it automatically is a, you know, an indicator of no, okay, this, you don't cross this line. You know, but it's
Let
someone that don't
Let
have that, I guess. Okay, go ahead.
The reason why that happens, and this is my theory based on my experience as a gamer, I believe that happens because, see, with the game, you've got the quality, especially if you're, like, interactive with a VR headset and all that and feeling like you're in a different place, acting as a different person or in a different environment. And what happens is it's the level of interaction. It's like you're interacting in what would be a movie. With the quality of graphics, that interaction doesn't happen when you're watching a movie. That interaction can only happen within a game, within a simulation. So now this interaction creates a thought pattern where this is real. This is something that's actually happening to me because I control the outcome of this thing. I control the outcome of this situation. I can, based on my movement and my actions, this game will behave differently, and it's that complex. And they've gotten to the point where now they actually have interactive movies where it looks like a movie that you're interacting in, and the people look real, except it's a game. So
that makes sense because, if, you know, say you're taking driver's ed, and they put you in a simulator. They're teaching you how to, you know, things that may come up, teaching you what you need to do or how to react and whatever else. So, yeah, that becomes real to life when you get on the road, so to speak. So I guess I can see that happening as in the midst of the game as well. But, man, I guess I'm just blown away or maybe just naive to the fact that, you know, that a person would not be able to know that this is wrong? I guess that's I'm really tripped up at. Yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing this out, because it's you know, man. Either I've lived in a bubble or, you know, and I know I was very well protected, but man, I just this is eye opening to me.
Well, go ahead, my brother. Pardon me?
I said, go ahead. I'm taking it a spoonful at a time.
I understand. The same thing was true. It's the same thing true is true for hacker culture. If you understand how hackers think, people who try to break into other computers, it's kind of like an addiction. And this is a form of addiction. Because what happens is, let's say you get into a situation where you cannot resist the urge to break into other people's computer systems because of the internet and the temptation it involves. I remember when I was a teenager, and I lived in the northwest suburbs at a time when not a lot of blacks lived out that way. And what happened was some friends of a friend, actually near where I lived, got caught for cracking the Pentagon. And I was about to get a modem and a telephone so that I could go online. This is before the internet was popular. But there were still means by which you could go online. And at that time, I was stopped. That's how closely my parents watched me. So, I mean, they weren't going to let anything like that happen because they were, you know, they paid attention to some degree. And they took some – they didn't take an interest every day, but they paid attention to what I did with my computer. And they were interested. They cared. I mean, this is what you what has to be done today. And unfortunately, it's not enough just to watch. You have to monitor what is being done. If you trust a teenager or a young adult with a phone or any kind of a computer or a device, then that needs to be monitored, because there's a thing called the dark web. And I mean, I remember even back, this was before the internet, before I could even get on the internet, I got a hold of a program that it was something unusual. And I happened to unpack it to get access to it. And it was, and I ran this program not knowing what it was. And it turns out that the program was pornographic. And this was back in the 80s. My computer was showing graphics that were literally pornographic. I didn't know what it was, but I kind of got rid of it afterwards. But I was like, I didn't know what it was. I had just gotten it from a friend. My point is that exposure is so much more likely to happen with the internet, because you've got people out there that are predators that are purposely making it so these children, these young people, see these kinds of activities. I'll give you an example. Years ago, there was a man who was arrested for what he did. He bought a domain name, and what he did was he took the he used the word Disney, and he transposed the letters S and N, so that when children typed the wrong spelled Disney the wrong way, they would get transported to a pornographic site where he would get paid a quarter at every hit. Just to get paid.
Oh, come on.
But he didn't care about the horrible things that these children would see. He just wanted to get money. And he was arrested.
The love of money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a lot of money. Because every time,
Let me ask you this, because, you know, well, I've always been told, and I'm sure parents and others have been told the same, that if you're going to use the system, if you're going to use the web whatsoever else, the internet now, you need to set up for your children, you need to set up filters. Now, what I'm hearing, this is what I'm thinking, these are mitigations, but I'm hearing that there are no mitigations, because because a person could play a game or could play something that they shouldn't be playing, and it won't even be stacked on your computer whatsoever else. So, I mean, that's really a danger zone for anyone.
That's true.
Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, you are. And not only that, but
I mean, because I'm thinking a filter would take care of the problem, but a filter doesn't take care of the problem.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It's not enough to have a filter. Okay, because unfortunately, See, a filter, listen, a filter only works for all the known sites. Now, it depends on whether you use them in a whitelist system or a blacklist system. That it's only as good as that list is. If that list doesn't have everything on it, then there'll be other sites that are new that have been recently added that will allow the child or the young adult to get to a site there that's inappropriate.
That's the game right there. They just change the name, do it, and then get right around it, man. Wow.
Exactly. So, I mean, the enemy is coming for our children. And unfortunately, even though these computers can be used for so many wonderful things, and it is in some cases, but in many cases, it's like, man, with anything else, they just use it for all sorts of evil, all sorts of evil that's unimaginable, things that I would be ashamed to say right now.
Yeah.
Things a lot darker than the things I just shared with you. And, it's unbelievable. And the fact that it's allowed, you know, and I'm going to tell you one more thing before I get off this part of the subject. Do you know that kind of activity, that pornographic activity that's on the net, is the primary cause of our young children being snatched up and forced into sex trade? Because of all the money that's being made. Because of all the money that's being made on the dark web.
Wow.
And it's hard for police to catch these criminals because to track them down. And a lot of them are in other countries.
Yeah.
Where the laws the government doesn't even care what they do. But some of it happens here too. Don't think it doesn't, because it does. But as far as the protection of our children, old methods of discipline aren't going to work. One thing you can do, a parent can do, is to limit time of screen time, you know, for any kind of device. Watch the behavior and activity of the child. Establish some kind of downtime so that the child doesn't always spend their free time on the computer. Now, I did that, but see, I didn't have access to online activities. You know, I was limited to either working on schoolwork or playing video games that were limited to offline activities. I wasn't able to talk to grown people on the other side of the world like kids can do now. You go and play Grand Theft Auto, that's what happens. It allows you to discuss inappropriate subjects with grown people. Then you got grown people on the same servers as five-year-olds. And also, there are tools you can use for access. You know, there are tools you can use for access for your game systems, for your computer systems, and for mobile computer systems like your iPad and your iPhones and things of that nature, and your Android operating system. You can control that. It may take a little bit of education, but believe me, it's worth it. And also, you can control, if you have like your own network, as most people do, you can control the network access itself and say, hey, look, by this time, the network shuts down for everything but other than what the grown folks are doing. You children are not using the internet for all hours of the night for anything. It shuts down. And you can watch and see if they turn it on. There are ways you can monitor it. And you can install passwords and so forth.
But you're saying that it can be interchanged from computer to laptop to watch,
right,
to phone. I mean, so...
Well, I've never seen... I don't know the watches can do it. But, yeah, phone, everything else you mentioned, yes.
Well,
everything
else, when we were growing up, you see these things on Inspector Gadget and on Columbo, or you see something on the Jetsons or something like that. And now all that stuff is real today.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, for me to think that it wouldn't, you know, Inspector Gadget would take his shoe off and talk on it as if it was a phone, and we'd laugh about that. Oh, this man talking on the phone is on the bottom of his shoe, and it, you know, it's something that would be imaginable or impossible to do. And, I mean, how many people talk on their phone, on their watch today?
That's exactly. I have one. I do the same thing. You're right.
Yeah, so, I mean,
absolutely,
you know, or whatever needs to be done. So, you know, it things have evolved technology for the better for utilization, but also it opens up a whole thing. Like you talk about the dark web, there's a side where evil and negativity seems to run rampant, and it's controlling the minds of our today's youth. So
and also there's I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Pastor.
No, go right in.
Also, the dark web is used, like if a parent were to use a shared computer that a child is using, if their computer is overly exposed to the dark web could be used to examine that computer for banking activity and payment of bills and all that kind of thing that we like to use for convenience, that we need for convenience these days. So, I mean, there's that danger, too. That's another avenue for fraud, another avenue to have, you know, a banking information stolen and all that sort of thing. So, I mean, the bandwidth of our Internet services, I just got mine updated to a gigabit service, which means I can download around a billion bits per second. What I can do, I mean, now, but you don't even need that much to watch TV. You can watch R-rated movies. You children can watch R-rated movies and play violent video games at the same time, you know, without any kind of buffering or anything like that, and have that kind of exposure going on from two different sources at the same time or more. I mean, if they, you know, wanted to watch this, that, and the other, there's nothing to stop them now. In the meantime, the parents might be working from home in the other room thinking everything is fine. That's the kind of situation. And it's this situation. Go ahead, Pastor.
It is so important. It's critically important now, even more so to the 10th, 12th power. When we hear the scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go. I mean, you have to watch them every step of the way. Because to be able to mold them and keep them out of as much as possible, parenting has become that much more difficult because, once again, the proverb writer does say, so a man thinketh, so is he. And so when you're talking virtual reality, augmented reality, I think this is what I am. And it goes, I mean, right to the point where you said, the guy said, it's not a game, it's my life. This is what he's thinking.
Yes.
And now he's acting out in his life what it is. You know, and we used to think, oh, man, this is cool, watching these vampire movies and all this stuff whatsoever else. But now you have some people that cannot watch that stuff because they cannot because their reality has now become exactly that. And so now they become a menace to society or become a detriment to society. They're definitely a detriment to any moral society. And it just continues to grow. No wonder, you know, we have so much problem, because then how do you police that? How do you stop that? I mean, how do you, you know, when there's so much commerce involved and there's so much so much emotionalism that's on the line, and definitely, you know, where there's money, the people are going to fight to keep it, no matter how detrimental it is. Like when you gave the illustration of the person that, you know, that would change the word Disney, and if you misspelled it, he would get a quarter for every time it was done. You know, I mean, that's, he didn't care that he was hurting children or exposing them to something, that taking them from a state of innocence to a state of evil or forbidden. All he was concerned about was the love of money, which is the root of all
that's
evil.
Right.
And so, man,
that's
it's
right.
Man, and so then now, this is what I'm seeing, you know, and so now here we go to push our politicians to try to put something in order, but what is it that they have to put in order? What laws got to be changed in order for this to take place? Because they keep changing the game or keep changing the rules as we try to get one law fixed, they then change the versions 10, 12 times.
Exactly. And look at how the standards have changed for television. Remember when we were children, when we were back in the day, we watched TV, and it was very unlikely that you would see nudity on the TV. Now it's an everyday thing. See, because it's, like you said, the standards change. And in the case of video games, according to this article, which is dated from last year, from the last update, make $100 billion with the B global industry, $100 billion.
Well, that's a great comparison because I remember as a kid, man, if you had a television, I'm not talking about one you got hung on the wall. I'm talking about if you had one of them big consoles, a Zenith or one of them great big old picture tubes, and it's set in the living room, you know, and everybody couldn't go change the channel whatsoever else, you know. That was it. And it was a piece of furniture.
It wasn't that long ago.
Plants and stuff on top of that thing was so heavy, it was ridiculous. But it you watched it for probably 20 years or so, Panasonic or Zenith or whatever else. But there was a time when TV went off. Matter of fact, in one of Lenny Williams' songs, he talks about, I stayed up until the television went off, and, you got all that white noise and the line and all that stuff, and then it wouldn't come back on until like 5 o'clock in the morning, so it used to go off like what, around 2 or 3, and then there'd be a pause in the network, and it would be almost a reboot, and then start back around 5 or 6 in the morning. TV never goes off now.
No.
We're no longer using picture tubes no more. You know, everything has went digital, so analog, which carried a warmth with it, has now went to digital, which has little to no generation loss, and so therefore it's become more marketable. And things have just continued to transform to now where, you can watch TV on your watch, or you can watch your ball game or whatever else, on your laptop. You don't have to have an actual television, And so things have really transported, which has been good for society, but yet is also when you paint this other picture, it's not necessarily all that great for our youth. Because we have to monitor it based off of everything that's there, and I mean, at your very best, it doesn't seem like you can keep everything out.
No, it's not possible to keep everything out, but you can monitor what comes in. And I mean, I may not be a parent, but I have had a hand in raising a few children. And what I did was, whenever I brought a game system over or brought games over, I played the games with the children, so that when they talked about something, I knew what they were referring to, so that if they got out of hand about it, I knew where they came from. So I was able to deal with it. And I have a niece today who has a PlayStation 4, and she has behavior issues, and we sit down and we play a game together, and when she gets out of hand, I say, okay, now we're not going to play anymore because of the way you're acting. But see, I only know that because I've taken the time. Yeah, I'm sorry?
I don't know where you're at in your presentation, but I'd like to bring some other people in to maybe comment on something or see what they may have heard. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead. I'm pretty much done.
Then we can get back to the more stuff. But let me go to my wife first. Honey, you there?
Okay.
There you are. You there, dear?
Yes, I am here.
Right.
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
You heard Brother Garvin. Any comments?
Well, there was many areas that I could make comments on. And dealing with, I want to start off like this. We deal with the situation of when all that's out there that's available to those kids, and it's, I want to say, to me, I don't think the mind is fully developed to where they cannot determine, as you indicated, virtual or algorithm, if I'm saying that correctly. It's because they are not aware of, to me, it's easy to get to the point where they think this is it, like the boys are my life, because that's what they believe, because their minds are fully developed or not like that. And then secondly, I lost my thought. Bobby, you made some very important points, and I just wanted to just say wow. That's all you can do is say wow about all that, because it's real. It's very real. And it talks about the dark webs and how the people of the kids who are being converted, transported into different areas of the prostitution ring and all that stuff that goes on, when we understand that that is happening out there, when we understand that basically they're watching things, they're seeing things, and they're, that's what I want to say, they're interacting to where to the point where they believe that this is actually real to them. Because as you the analogy that you gave, that was really great, the television, we watch and we go, ooh, ah, but when you interact in it and you're taking part in it, you do feel like you are part of it. So therefore, it's the separation of the mind. But if the mind is not fully developed, it's confusion. So I understand that. And then you talked about the monitoring of the parents. They was just on news. The news was saying how one particular big company, iPhone, were basically the password, all that stuff that the parents thought they had set up. Well, come to find out, it was not being set up. It was being between the parents think that everything is fine, but they found out later on that whatever they did or didn't do, that the niche that was supposed to take place didn't take place. So they contacted iPhone and let them know this is not working, and iPhone supposed to be working on it. But this is the kind of stuff that we work on, when you say every time you're trying to fix it, something else comes up. So there's a lot to this. It's just, all you can do is say, wow. I mean, you can sit there and monitor. Actually, you had to sit beside them while they were watching them, because that's the only way to protect them, basically.
Thank you for that, honey.
I mean, I appreciate that, too. One other idea that I had that parents can take, an action that they can take. I mean, if a child or even a young adult is not responsible and still living in your home, I would say that you can install a relatively inexpensive camera to watch the activities, so that at any moment you can see what's being seen. You know, of course, that wouldn't work for virtual reality, but that would work for screens, for, active screens in the room. So, I mean, that's one possibility, because if someone just says, well, this is my room, I want my privacy, oh, well, then you could pay your own rent. You know, you find yourself at your own apartment or what have you, and you make your way on out there. I mean, if they're not responsible and not trustworthy. But see, here's the thing. You never know at what level of influence these games. I mean, you have to really talk to your children, talk to that person, and at least spend some time with that person to understand where their mind is at, where their head is at, like Sister was saying. And if you don't do that, then you won't really have a clue as to what's going on unless you monitor them 24 hours a day. That's true.
All right, let's get to some other callers. Very good, very good response. I'll go to Houston, to Tyra. You got a chance to hear the comments from Brother Garvin and Marie. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been chomping at the bit trying to get into this. So as a rehabilitated gaming addict, this is very interesting for me to hear. Brother Garvin.
You're a gamer yourself, huh? Okay.
I was, okay. Yeah. But... Okay. I'm on the other end now, is I don't even watch TV. So there's something that Brother Garvin, when he was going through the history and then he got into the internet, something I wanted to touch on that I'm not sure a lot of people would know about, but there is a culture in internet gaming called swatting. That's SWATTING. In 2017 was the worst swatting case in the history of the United States. What is swatting? That's when normally gamers, most people do it when they play Call of Duty. This case started over a $1.50 argument. And there was a guy, I believe he was in California, his name was Tyler Barris. And what Tyler would do was make fake 911 calls and saying that a person that he had a problem with or he had gotten into an argument with on the game, he would go onto the web and, you know, get their address or whatever, call the police and say that this person has ammunition, or he would pretend like he's the person saying that he was going to blow something up and actually have the SWAT team come to their house. And by this time, we had cameras, so webcams, so we can see, you know, what was going on. I've seen people be swatted before. And it would be, you know, a big joke, that ha ha ha, when SWAT comes and kicks in the people's door. Well, and I believe it was December of 2017, these two guys that were arguing about the $1.50, I did not witness this, but I did see it online. The one guy reached out to Tyler and gave him the wrong address for the other guy that he was arguing with. He thought he had the right address, but it was incorrect. So the SWAT team was called out to a gentleman, I think his last name was Finch, called out to his house. And the SWAT team came in and came in shooting, and they shot that man, and he died. Total innocent person of this swatting culture. So from that, there became what's called swatting laws. So that's one thing a lot of people don't know about. I've had several talks with my son about swatting. Because it just does still happen, but on a smaller scale. Now they'll just call the police and have the police come to your house instead of the SWAT team. But a lot of older people don't know about that. And it was, you know, funny ha-ha culture. Another guy before that, he got, you know, this is an older guy. I don't remember what game they were playing, but this guy had a heart attack when SWAT busted up into his house and he died. So there's a lot of little nuances and subcultures that happen in the online gaming world and the gaming world in general. When Garvin was talking about GTA, I was just going through all the list of the GTA games I had. I would call off of work to finish the game, or if I would go to work, I would call out early if I had just gotten the newest GTA game. To touch back on what he said about the immorality and things that kids are exposed to. I was an adult at this time, but there was a game that my ex-husband brought home, which is Grand Theft Auto, and the title of it was The Ballad of Gay Tony, and it's centered around this gay character, mob boss. Retrospect, I'm like, yeah, kids could be playing that. Like, that's super weird. And then when he touched on the internet, right, and the dark web. I got exposed to the dark web through Yahoo Messenger in like 1999, and then again through MySpace. So again, I was grown though. I wasn't a kid, but I was still a young adult, I guess you would say, and have seen some stuff online. When he was talking about Mortal Kombat, I was, you know, thinking about that. There is a game called Dante's Inferno where the setting is in hell, actually, and you're fighting demons, Final Fantasy. Those types of games, I feel like they open up portals. Meaning, because I heard you questioning, how could a person not know, you know, what's right and what's wrong? Well, when you open up your mind to certain things and you're desensitized, mm-hmm. to other things, the line between reality and, you know, what's real and what's not is blurred. And it's programming, the same as TV. These things are, I feel, a form of mind control. Because now, if you look around, I watch my son and his friends, I'm like, you guys are all a bunch of, like, robots. Like, you all wear hoodies. You don't go outside. You're on your phones, you're on the game, and you're on the phone, the game, and the laptop at the same time, right? And, like, y'all all talk alike. Y'all all talk like those YouTubers. Like, it's so weird to watch them as Gen X, and I'm looking at whatever they are. I think they're Gen Y or something like that. It's just weird. So, yeah, I was really excited to, you know, hear Brother Garvin talk about this. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is something that I actually have experience with, struggle with, and recovered from. Because it's a thing. Like, you, even guys that want to play, like, I believe it was 2K, they would have to either, you know, go home on lunch break to go play 2K, or not go to work and play 2K. It was that bad. I had it worse with the GTA and the Def Jam Fight for New York. I can name all the games I had. And I didn't have my own gaming system until I was an adult. I didn't have the internet until I believe it was like 2004 with AOL. But I remember my mom had the first time I saw a Nintendo, it was in New Orleans. My cousin Lenny had one. I'd never seen one before, the original one where you had to blow into the game and all that. And then my mom mm-hmm. got one, and I couldn't play it. And then she got, what was it, a Sega Genesis, and I could play that. So I was playing Ronald McDonald and Sonic the Hedgehog. Those were okay games, no violence, nothing like that. Then she got the Nintendo 64, because all she played was Mario. And then I didn't get my own gaming system until I had a Sega Dreamcast. I remember that. And then my boyfriend at the time got the PlayStation, and then it just went on from there until I got married and we had the Nintendo 64, I think it was. And that's when we hooked that up to the internet. That was the first time that I didn't even know that it was connected to the internet. I didn't know who he was talking to. He was on his head. I was like, who are you talking to? I thought he was on the phone. And that's when I learned that, you know, through the internet, you could talk to people, and then the webcam came, and just all kind of crazy stuff was happening on there. So that's, my son does not have a webcam. I don't allow that. But there's so many things that they have access to that we can't keep up with. We get up, you know, our generation's on Facebook. They've moved off of Facebook a long time ago. They were on Instagram. Then they went to something else. Then there was Twitch, and now he's on something called Discord. I can't keep up. As far as keeping them safe, do you guys know that our parental controls as far as Google end at age 13? I had a Google family where I was able to set his screen time, check his history, you know, block certain websites that I didn't think was appropriate. I would monitor his chats. Basically, I had, like, legal spyware on his phone through Google, but when he turned 13 years old, that's it. And I found that
You said after 13, you no longer have any control? They're not adults at 13.
Right, but Google cuts off parental controls at the age of 13.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So right now, the only recourse that I have as a parent is to basically check his phone. You know, he can delete things, you know, or things. I can't pull up his history or anything like that. The only other thing I can do is install spyware on his phone, and I don't really want to go that far. I really do try to monitor what he's watching, but Discord is unregulated. I've seen all types of inappropriate cartoons and things that have blown my mind on there. And now, come to find out, his dad bought him the Oculus, which I have always been thoroughly against virtual reality, right? Because I don't want him to have those lines further blurred. So he was telling me about the Oculus, and I already knew what it was. And I did not want, I still don't want my son to be part of the metaverse, right? But I mean, what can you do about it? Like, there's nothing you can do. Because even at the arcades here, right, I did a virtual reality game. I didn't even know what it was. It was like a roller coaster. I think it's called 4D, where you sit in the thing. It feels like you're on the roller coaster. You're looking at the screen. Everything is like 3D, and you're shooting things. And then when I got off the thing, like, my head was kind of swimming and woozy, right? So
wow.
I don't like that kind of stuff, and I can just see how the progression is just getting, you know, worse and worse and worse, because it's a few things here, GTA, okay, yeah, you can, you know, commit a crime, you know, kill somebody, get a prostitute, and then they evolved into you can actually go into the strip club in first person on a video game. And at that time, it was not regulated. I know kids were playing that game. So it's just, I don't know. I think it's just they give you a little bit of this, a little, like they did with TV.
a little bit of this, and I push it a little bit further, and I push it a little bit further until we've gotten to this point.
Right.
Which I feel is very sad, because I remember as a kid, I used to like to go to Big Daddy's barbecue with my grandmother while she was ordering. She'd give me a quarter, and I'd play Mrs. Pac-Man on the big, you know, machine, or either at the laundromat, mm-hmm. I'd play Paperboy or Frogger or the first Legend of Zelda. Nothing like this, right? So
right.
We just have to be aware and not be blind to, you know, what is going on and what these kids are exposed to, especially in regards to games like Call of Duty, Final Fantasy, and GTA, because there's 16 installments of GTA. A lot of people don't know that. There's 16 different games. So my son knows that he's not allowed to play that. Even though his dad has it, I'm like, you're not allowed to play that game. No, you can't handle it. I shouldn't have been playing it as an adult, right? So definitely not you with your little 14-year-old behind. You're not going to be playing that game. So,
yeah.
I mean, the only thing that we can do is just, unfortunately, be helicopter parents at this point, because there's so many things that are available to them that we don't even know about. Like, I just learned about Twitch and Discord maybe a couple months ago. And in a couple months, it's going to be something else, right? And what can you do? Just keep them covered in prayer. That's all I can say. But I'm not going to
talk
about this in my show. Well, thank you, Brother Garvin, for this topic. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, we go to my mother. I want to hear what she has to say regards to the discussion today.
Like, I was a human being. And
you there, Mom?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Uh-huh. I didn't know if it was my turn of time or not. Brother Garvin, what you're discussing today is needed because all of this mess has actually changed American culture. It's just not something that is just – our whole culture has changed because of this mess. And Satire is completely right. It does open up demonic portals for the enemy to send demons into your life, and people don't realize that. They think it's harmless, and, you know, people don't want to be bothered with their kids, so they put them in front of a screen, and they don't realize that those kids are picking up all kind of demonic forces. Then you want to know why you take them to church and it don't work, because we have allowed the enemy to activate and to tickle their minds. And so now they are really captivated by the underworld. And if the game is not gory enough, they don't want it. I have quite a few teenagers in my church, and I have to really deal with them, because at this point, if it's not a blood and guts kind of thing, they don't want it, because then it's old-fashioned. You know, but then they come out one day. I have a couple of girls now that have had sexual relations because they saw it on the game, and then their boyfriend told them they and the boyfriend played the game or whatever they did, and then they got hot and bothered, and they had ended up having sexual relations, and one of them has two kids now. But all that was really behind playing some kind of game that was sexually explicit. And so you just have to realize that you open up the door for the enemy. And I'm not surprised that folks are stabbing and the kids are stabbing and killing and shooting and going on, because this has been opened up to them. And the enemy has taken full advantage of the fact that parents are not aware, are not able to monitor that you have to, you know, at 13 years old, over 13, you can't even do nothing about it. And the enemy is just so happy. And these kids are going out, and this is whether people like to believe it or not, these kids are going out getting these rifles, the same rifle they saw in the game, and shooting up these folks. We've had almost 200 shootings in America, and it's not even the whole year, half a year is not even here yet. And anytime you look at it, 9 times out of 10, it's some young person that has seen something on a video game or been involved with some of that Brother Garvin is talking about. And they have learned how to do what they're doing, and now they're acting it out in real life. And don't you fool yourself. The enemy is speaking to their mind, reminding them of everything that they saw on that game. Everything. It's a very sad situation. And we as saints of God, and we as Christians, you know, we can say, well, that's terrible, let's legislate. No, this is more than legislate. This is bombard heaven stuff. Because this is a warfare. I talked to Sarah about this yesterday. We are in spiritual warfare. And warfare don't stop. You don't get a chance to take a break. This is warfare for the minds of our youth and our young people and the weak-minded. Because as many, like you said, she was grown. Many grown people are doing this, but some folks' minds are weak. Some of us have been through trauma and what have you, and so we go there in that reality, that virtual reality, to try to get away from what's going on in natural life, and the devil is right there waiting on you. You know, a lot of times we don't want to look at it for what it is, but this, we're in a spiritual warfare for the souls of men, beloveds. And all this that Brother Gavin has told us today just simply tell us that we're going to have to do more praying. Because I don't care what they legislate up there in Washington, D.C. That ain't going to stop Satira's son over her ex's house looking at something she don't want him looking at.
Right.
We're going to have to, the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. This thing is a spiritual thing that we have to fight. Many times we're looking for natural things, but I'm telling you right now, you cannot legislate morality. You can put all the stuff on the books you want to. Somebody going to get around that thing. They ain't paying that no attention, no way. They're not paying any attention. Oh, it's the law of the land. Ain't no, most people not paying attention to a lot of that. They're just doing whatever they want to do because a whole lot of law of the land is already being violated. So just putting something on the books, not saying that we shouldn't do that because we do need to have something in place.
Right.
But that's not going to make any difference to the little girl in her bedroom who they have a camera. The mom has a camera in there to make sure that the child is all right. And some fool then tapped into the camera and talking to the kid in her bedroom. This actually happened. Talking over that camera, like the camera I got in front of my church, talking over the camera, some old man talking to a 6 or 7 year old girl, she in her bedroom, in her night clothes, and this booger talking over that camera. This thing is a spiritual thing. Demons are flying and demons are real. People, we don't realize it. We try to act like it ain't so. But it is so. When somebody tell you you can't play the game and they get them stab you in the chest and you their great grandma, that ain't natural. Something promoted that. That's not natural. And you run your grandma in the bedroom, she got locked the door to keep you from killing her. That's not normal. All because you were told the game, turn the game off. This is a demonic thing that is taking place. We're in spiritual warfare for the souls of our children. And if we don't look at it like that, we're going to lose some more of them. I'm glad for Prophet Satira for taking a stance against that, since she already had experience with it, to now know how to take a stance against that to protect King, because a lot of parents just don't even know what it is. They got a game. Isn't that nice? And like you said, Mike, going somewhere, so I'm going to buy this game. They've been good. They got good grades. Let's go buy this game for them. And you don't know that you opened up a demonic port for your child.
And that's my
because
whole
we don't
thing is like, you just don't know what you're getting into.
What we need to do is leave some of this stuff alone. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Now that we have the information of what Brother Garvin has told us, and we don't be buying no games for nobody. Cause I'm not gonna look at the games. I don't want to see the blood and guts. I'm not gonna put it on and say, well, let me see if this is blood and guts. I don't want to know. So guess what? I'm not buying that. None of my grandkids are getting any games from me. They ain't never got one, and they're not getting any. Period. And Chi-Chi's boys have asked, tell Grandma to read it. No, Grandma don't buy games. Because I can't monitor them, and your mama's too busy. The devil is a lie. I will never give you something that's going to open up a demonic portal while I'm in Des Moines and you in Detroit. No. No, that's not going to happen. I got a truck you can have. Merry Christmas for this truck. This is what you get. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Here it is. This is, but there ain't going to be no game. I'm not doing it. I don't care. I don't care who do it. I don't care. Juwan was talking to me, Nisha's boy Juwan, was talking to me about game. Grandma, we the gamers or whatever. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you, boy, because I don't believe you need to be gaming nothing. Your little mind is already weak. Oh, Grandma, there you go. Yeah. Yep, here I go. Here I go. So we have to be aware that this is a part of a life that we should not be partaking in. And God is not pleased with us partaking in this. I'm telling you right now. And we have to listen. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. So we have to make up our mind which side of this thing we're going to be on. Because this is spiritual warfare. This is more than just a game or whatever. This is spiritual warfare. When they had the clip on television with an old man, and it sounded like he was old as me, may not have been, but he was an older man. This little girl in her bedroom, in her nightclothes, in her bed, talking to this grown man over the camera. That wasn't even a game. It was just over the camera. Had a little camera in there. You know, mama had a camera, so if something happened, they could see my, like a baby monitor, like thing. And this old man done tapped into that. And he's talking to this, looking at this little girl, looking at her. She can see her, looking at her, talking about how pretty her nightgown is. Now, the child's 7 years old, and you old as the hills. Now, what kind of idea you think he had going on?
Wow.
And this is a life that's going on now in the culture of America. This is it.
How do you push your children?
It's not going to get better, beloved. We're in the end times.
Yeah.
We got to understand this is warfare. We have to wake up. God is, and this line, this that you have going on here, Michael, is waking us up, and as we share, it'll be waking up others in the church.
Because I know I've been woke up already. I mean, it's about three, four things he said already. I'm like, hold on, let me pause, let me spoon this in. Okay, let's go for some more. You know, because I'm like, you know, when I said, you know, I wasn't no perfect kid at all, but I guess I was sheltered in a lot of aspects. But there's so much, and I mean, I what I thought was gaming was, you know, I played Dig Dug. I loved Space Invaders and Pac-Man, and I played all the different versions of Pac-Man, all that stuff. But all that stuff was nonviolent. This stuff, karate stuff was cool. But outside of that, man, I wasn't into killing nobody and taking your truck and all that stuff. That wasn't what I was into, shooting nobody.
You got to realize as it has progressed, and like we were saying the other night when we talked, the other line when we were talking about this, these games look like real people. Brother Garvin said, these look like people you know. It don't look like some strangers. Now, they do have some that look like demons and whatever, but they got some that look like your next-door neighbor, baby. Oh, there's George. Look at him. He's on the game. Oh, there's Susie. Yeah. I know her. She's on the game. And that's where it looks like the people you know. Oh, I saw her. She go to my school. And she's killing people and pulling their bones out and biting them in the neck and blood running and running them over with cars and blowing them up. Your next-door neighbor, your best friend. That's where it is now.
Yeah, that's what messes up the mind of people.
I've told people for years, the devil knows just what you like. He knows what your flesh is tantalized by. And that's what he's doing. He's producing these kind of things. And there's so many different choices because all of us are different. All of us like, and see, don't fool yourself. When you get pleasure from this stuff, dopamine is released out of your brain. Dopamine is a pleasure thing that's in your brain. It's released. These folks are getting pleasure out of folks killing each other in front of their eyes. Now imagine that. Somebody, like Brother Garvin said, somebody taking that man and reaching in somebody's head and pulling their brain out and all this blood and guts. And somebody sitting there getting pleasure just like they might have been having sex. From that, this is the world we're living in. No longer do you have to have, no longer do you have to have a girlfriend or whatever. You just push the button and there she is on the screen, and the dopamine is released in your body just like you was right there with her. Brother Garvin, ain't I telling the truth? That this is the way it is.
Yeah.
This is the way it is now. You can have all kind of sexual activity, all kind of dope. You can feel, you can have look like you're taking dope. You can act like you're running people over with a car, shooting them in the head, all of that on the screen. You don't have to be sitting right in your living room and everybody else watching football and you watching somebody being run over by a car and blood and guts running. It's demonic. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to put this, really be praying about this. So folks say, what can I do, baby? You have access to the throne. And Michael knows I'm the one talking about bombard heaven. Once we realize what's going on, sometimes we don't know. But now that we have this information, we are required by God to do something about it. What can I do? You got needs, get on them. You know how to talk to God. Spend some time in prayer, some special time in prayer, fighting this thing. Because the only way the devil gets away with this is because the saints of God are not really aware of what's going on, and he's running rampant, but we have the authority over him. And so, Brother Garvin, your information is vital to the church. Vital. Because many of us sitting up on Sunday morning clapping our hands and amen, preacher, and don't have a clue that the kid is sitting in the back of the room with the phone looking at that very stuff you're talking about in the church.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. You know, we don't know.
Sure.
But when we have somebody like Brother Garvin, who is an expert, that and even with like Shatara, who tells us what she has been through, and she, you know, then you find out, oh, maybe I better maybe take that phone away. Maybe they can't have that phone all the time. I'm grown. I live in there. If you grown, you need your house. If you live in my house, I'm taking your phone. Because this had been going on when mine was, all of them, though, they would not have had no phone. That's the tire. Wouldn't have been no phone. Phones would have been in my room, and you better not come in there and touch it. What you need a phone for anyway? You ain't, what, you looking for a job? You don't need no phone. We shouldn't be allowing them any access to this. They're going to have, and like she said, now it's almost to the point, gotten so bad where you almost can't stop the access. But I can stop it in my four walls. You ain't coming in here doing it. Now, what you do over there, I can't do nothing about it, but you're going to do it in here. Ain't going to be, just like she turned off her television, I'd be taking the phone. Nope. When you walk in the door, put the phone in the box, in the basket. Oh, this is my phone. I told so going to call me. When they call, we'll pick it up, put it over there in that basket. Because you ain't looking at nothing ungodly in here.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, that's going to seem, ooh, that's me. We got to do something for our kids because the kids are being bombarded. Thanks, Brother Garvin, for waking us up. And I shared this line anyway, but this thing is going, I got about 20 groups that are always thinking about putting this in so people will be aware of what you're talking about, because most parents don't have a clue what's going on in their own home now. So thank you for coming on and letting us know what's going on. Thank you.
So welcome.
Amen. So Tyra, Marie, do either one of you have any more comments in regards to that? Go back to the Garvin. I know you got some more. I'm just trying to stomach this already. Tyra or Marie, any other comments at this point before we move forward?
Marie, no, I don't have any extra comments. I'm listening to what was said, and I agree 100%. It has to get out there some way. This is a start, and then we have to do more. We have to do something because this is real. It's very real. So. In my prayers in the morning, you watch the news and you see the kids and you see the action that they're doing. You just ask God, you know, help me to understand what happened to our children. And then I hear Garvin. I said, oh, thank you, Lord, because see now I'm seeing that my prayers are being answered. But now the question is, as she indicated, Mom indicated, we got to do something. What can we do besides depend on the government? You know, my child is grown and all that stuff, but I'm just saying for the babies who are out there who are coming up in the next generations, you know, they have to have some kind of protection from this. And like I saw on the news where the major iPhone who supposedly have the password and supposed to protect and monitor, they are not even caring about it. They are not. They've been notified that it's not working, and they said they're working on it, but they did not make any comments about anything. So it's almost like what do you do? I mean, you have, now we're beginning to get the knowledge, and then from there, what's the knowledge? What do we do? Because it's very serious, because we see our kids acting out in ways that, you know, we're like, wow, what's going on? And it's just, it's sad. It's very sad.
Absolutely. Thanks for that, honey. So, Tyra, any other comments in regards to this before we move forward?
Just wanted to say, just keep your kids monitored. I just happened to go on my Google Play Store in the gaming section, and I see that RuPaul has a game. And if y'all don't know RuPaul, it is a drag queen. There is no age rating on this game. So there's no such thing as it will. I don't believe that there's any such thing as over policing your children. The game looks like any of those like little paper doll games or the dress up games. It looks just like that. I'm looking at it now. So no such thing as over policing, and don't be afraid to take a stand and say no. Like I said, there's no such thing as TV in my house. So you can't do that. And I try to monitor as best I can, but, you know, the kids have freedom. And when I talked about open up portals, I meant what I said in regards to that, because I know it's real easy to say, oh, how could those kids do that? They're so terrible. Well, you need to look at what's going on. Being exposed to that stuff can lead to a reprobated mind. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. That's exactly the end result leads there. And we're trying to not get there. Thank you so very much, guys, for that. Okay, Brother Garvin, I guess I'm ready for the next. You got more on this?
Just a little bit more.
Okay, come on.
As far as protecting children, most people believe that to have a smartphone, you have to have a data package, and that's not necessarily true. That's only if you purchasing the phone from the carrier. But what you can do is get an older version of the phone so that you don't pay as much, and then what you can do is you own the phone outright so you can customize the plan so that the phone itself does not have a data package, which means that the person has to be on a Wi-Fi network in order to have access to the Internet. And if that's the case, then that means the person, like Mother Holmes was saying, yeah, they can go to somebody else's house, but when they come home, then you control what they're accessing, unless they're hitting the neighbor. But even if they hit the neighbors, you know what I mean? You can still decide to say, hey, look, you're not accessing nobody else's network because this is my house. And you can find out whether or not they have done that. There are other ways. And I'm going to tell you something else, Tyra. If it comes down, if I had a child, if it comes down to installing spyware, there are lots of other third-party software. I mean, technically it's all spyware, but it's worth having because anything is better than having your child exposed to something horrible or something that's detrimental. And as far as like being able once in the home, you can actually directly control the internet access in your home. So you can decide this device no longer has access. That device no longer has access. I know how to do this myself. And I mean, I admit you would have to learn a little bit, but it's worth it. It's worth learning. Now, like you said, going to another person's home, being in someone else's house, no, you can't control that. And bottom line, when all else is done, we can all do all we can to stand. And after that, you know, stand with the whole armor of God. We have to be in prayer, like Mother Holmes was saying. We have to be in prayer about what our children are doing and what they're being exposed to, and to raise them up, train them up in the way they should go. So, but they won't depart from it.
So it seems like the remedy, well, I don't know if it's a remedy, but definitely a solution to minimizing the exposure is to limit the exposure. I guess that's the what I'm hearing. And I guess we have to get back to what used to be before we had
all of these this technology in our hands, we were out playing baseball and football and basketball and tennis and riding our bikes and whatsoever, and we found joy and fun in that. And we put much time into that where there wasn't a whole lot of time in watching that big the console TV. Matter of fact, you wasn't able to do that anyway because that was on whoever the parent station was, and you wasn't allowed to watch it, you know. But then you weren't exposed to a lot of these. You were exposed to some things out in society, but not to the level where we're at now. So I guess if we're trying to look for some kind of solution or at least some kind of hope in the matter, and I'm hearing Satira say the same thing, or my mother say it, and even Marie saying we got to do something about this thing. It sounds like, Brother Garvin, what I'm hearing is if we can, you got one or two options. You either over spy or overlook into everything, and that way there's no privacy whatsoever, you know, and that's not healthy completely, you know, because you're doing that out of fear, or you just completely have a time where you just, there is none, you know, none of that is going on here or in this home. This is what we don't do during this period of time or whatsoever else. It's difficult because you got kids that go to school, have to do their homework online and things of that nature. So you have to monitor that stuff as well. But when they're done with homework and whatever else, you got to get up off them games and get on outside, go to the park or do something more active with. And I guess we're in a society where the parents are not spending as much time with the children, you know, as they used to be. You know, we're no longer having meals at the table. We're no longer going to parks and movies, and man, drive-ins was wonderful back in the day, but you no longer have to do any of that stuff because of some craziness that's going on outside. But then now, you know, if that's what was wholesome, then now we incarcerate everyone inside because now outside is not safe. And so I don't know what the solution is one way or another, but it looks, sounds like the remedy to this, or at least the moving in the right direction towards it, when you're talking about raising up children or raising up people and even, you know, getting your mind, is to control the amount of time, limit the amount of time in which you're on it. Because even at work, you know, if you're at work and you have a computer module in front of you, you probably have access to the Internet, but they can find out that you're on the Internet or are you doing your work, you know. And so they got someone behind that's monitoring those things. And so you have to make sure that you're not mishandling the amenities that are in front of you, but you're using it for what needs to be done. And then we got to be careful with the stuff that we choose. Things that don't look wholesome, come to find out we're very wholesome. You know, we used to get caught up in the Westerns and Bonanza and Rifleman and all those guys, you know, back in the day, and Andy Griffith and Barney Fifen, et cetera. And that was all fun and games and, you know, it was laughing and funny and happy days and whatsoever else, you know. And then after a while, that stuff becomes boring because you need something that's going to be more gory, you know. And it seems like once Harry Potter came out, and there's things that led up to that, that now all of a sudden everyone's walking down this fantasy, I guess this line of fantasy mentality. And, man, you have allowed that to take you and transport you places. And I do agree, with something my mother said. It's because of the trauma that we have experienced or we've had, or just the lack of love, it pushes us to want to go somewhere else or to gravitate to something else, and that's when we're setting ourselves up for whatever trap is set there to try to grab a hold of us. And that's how we end up getting caught up in things that we shouldn't, or caught up in things that we didn't realize we're into and now don't know how we're going to get out of it. So, man, this has been a wonderful segment. We've been on there almost 2 hours just talking about virtual reality, augmented reality, and how it has affected the lives of today's youth
the lives of today's adults, the parents, you know, and then you also have the issues of, you know, how's the government going to deal with these things? So any other comments, Brother Garvin?
No, I'm pretty much finished. I guess I would say, you know, in retrospect, over the years, you know, I mean, I did have a place where, you know, I mean, I played video games more than I should, and perhaps I still do. I mean, because, when I was back when I started using computers in general, there was no such thing as ergonomics, you know, the study of the interface between man and machine. So I have repetitive motion injuries, you know, but, I mean, it became a part of my life early. However, I mean, it didn't influence me the way it seems to affect young people today, probably because I had a hand in programming some of my own games. And to me, it's just all graphics and sound, but it's not like that for everyone. So, I mean, it affects different people in different ways, and we have to remember that. And we have to remember that these different kinds of activities can have a profound effect on some and a softer effect on others. But what Mother Holmes said is still correct. Some of these games open a way to worship the enemy, and we have to be aware of that. And there are some games I won't play because of that. There are some games that have certain types of activity that are worship-like, and I won't play them. And I'll find something else to do. And, in fact, I play fewer games than I ever have, and I have access to thousands, tens of thousands. But I don't play as many as I used to. Just, you know, I spend a lot of time playing basketball game, and I didn't even like sports as a young person. But now I'm more into sports than I've ever been because of a video game.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so
I guess
that's
you,
a healthy alternative. Pardon me?
Yeah, I just want to thank you so much for this this presentation and for your knowledge and your acumen in regards to that. You've helped me tremendously. You've opened my eyes to some things and planted some seeds that I need to really try to look into, because this is what we have to deal with when we're trying to help society today. We're dealing with a compromised society based on the fact of how we see things. And what you see is what you say, and what you say is what you believe. And then what you believe is what you're going to sow. And what you sow is what you reap. What you reap is what you get. What you get is what you deserve. So I want to thank you. Thank you for that. I think I'm going to transition into something I've been working on. You guys should pay attention and comment on it as we go forward. But there was some lyrics written by a person called Hoobastank. And some of you may have heard me talk about this before, maybe not. But it says, I've done everything as you say. I followed your rules without question. I thought it would help me see things clearly, but instead of helping me to see, I look around and it's like I'm blinded. I'm spinning out of control. Where should I go? What should I do? I don't understand what you want from me because I don't know if I can trust you. I don't understand what you want from me. I feel like I'm spinning out of control. I try to focus, but everything's twisted. And all along, I thought you would be there. So let me know I'm not alone. But in fact, that's exactly what I was. I'm spinning out of control. Where should I go? What should I do? I don't understand what you want from me because I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know. I don't understand what you want from me. Question, have you ever woke up one morning after hearing of all the violence that may have taken place in your neighborhood, on your television, in your newspaper, all the looting, the protesting, the police brutality, the hatred, election violations, and on and on and on, everything that seems negative? And you, too, felt like this world and even the world you're in is spinning out of control. It's interesting because as we look at Mark 5, Jesus himself encounters a man that has a maniac mentality. We sit back and think about this man with an unclean spirit that Jesus encounters. Let's look at his character.
He had a graveyard mentality. He's living and his lifestyle were amongst the tombs of the catacombs. He enjoyed being in a cemetery. He was out of control because no man could bind him. He had some enormous strength because even chains could not hold him. Fetters could not keep him sane, keep him down. No one could tame him. He had the behavior of a wild donkey, or the Bible calls it a wild ass. You would think about insanity. And the truth is that we all are just one step away from insanity. Extreme mood changes of highs and lows and withdrawal from friends and activities, significant tiredness and low energy or problems of sleeping put us in a state of detachment from what I think we've been talking about today, reality and delusional situations, leading us to a state of paranoia or even to a state of hallucination. Insanity, madness, craziness are terms that describe the spectrum of individual behaviors that are characterized by certain abnormal mental and behavioral patterns. And insanity can be manifested by experiencing violations of social norms, including a person or persons becoming a danger to not only themselves, but also becoming a danger to other people. Are we insane? Are we in a society full of insanity? Well, Jesus recognizes that we're in a society, or this man was full of unclean spirits, because what happens with unclean spirits, an unclean spirit constitutes unclean behavior. Let me say that again. When the spirit is unclean, it cannot produce good behavior. An unclean spirit constitutes unclean behavior. Unclean spirits give respect to Jesus. We find in the 12th verse of Mark 5:12. They asked permission to move elsewhere, and they decided they wanted to go into swine. Unclean spirits are obedient to Jesus, verse number 13 of Mark 5, because they went out of the man and they entered into the swine. So right there, it seems like the solution to unclean spirits, because although they're powerful, they still do not have power over Jesus. They have to ask permission to move, and they have to be obedient to what he says. Sounds to me like Jesus is the help that we need as mankind for society. Unclean spirits are violent, verse number 13 of the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. Violent running down steep mountains and had these swine running into the sea. That's a lot of wet pork chops. These unclean spirits seek out death wherever they take up residence. Sounds to me that what we learned today in the realm of unclean spirits and insanity that violates social norms. When we become violent, when we become insane, when we allow unclean spirits to occupy our housing, then we're just like these swines drowned in the sea. We're just like the man that finds himself cutting himself with stones. We become masochistic. We're out of control. Verse number 5 of Mark 5. Mind-blowing that we live in a world that's full of insanity. But we have hope, folks. We must seek God. As we see in the text, the only solution for this man was Jesus was able to differentiate and be able to see the division between the soul and the behavior. As we look at society, as we look at the problem that exists today, we have to see the difference between the people and what it is that they're into, and recognize that there is a separation, and if we get into the separation to make the separation, there's where the help comes. Where's the help? The help is always in Jesus. Christ for all crises. We must seek out God. As insane as this world turns, we must seek out the vaccine for the pandemic of sin, and the pandemic of sin, the only vaccine that will help us is the Word of God, which leads us to Jesus Christ. He is the Word, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Luke 11:10, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. We have to seek. We have to ask. We have to knock. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So we must have a willing mind. We must be sick and tired of being sick and tired. We have to do like Tyra did, recognize that there is a, that we have to get away from the things that make us addicted, because we have a God that loves us so much that he was willing to die for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting eternal life. For God didn't send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that interesting in that text of John 3:16-17? It talks about our world today. Our world's in a condemned state. We just talked about what's happening, and it's a condemned state. But there is salvation even in a condemned state. If we go to Christ, he came so that we might be saved. We might have deliverance. We might be rescued. We might have everlasting life. Son of Man didn't come into the world to save that. He came here to save that which is lost. Ezekiel 34:12, as a shepherd looks for his scattered sheep when he is among the flock, so I will look for my flock. I will rescue them. Oh, that gives me great hope. Ezekiel 34:12, that gives me great hope. Even looking at this thing that I've seen today, that I've heard today, that looked hopeless, I can go to the Bible, to the scripture, and find hope. I will rescue them. Are you in the them? I am. From all the places to which they have been scattered on the days of clouds and darkness. Luke 5:31-32, and Jesus answered unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that which are sick I have come to call to righteousness, but sinners to repentance. It's interesting, because you could find yourself in a virtual reality or augmented reality and think you are all right. And a lot of folks do. That's why things are the way it is. But we also have a scenario where when you recognize that you're sick, where's the solution? Solution is Christ. He can take you from hopelessness and give you hope. He is the great physician. If you recognize that you're sick, not just physically, but mental sickness, moral corruption, Jesus says, I have come to call the righteous. I've come not to call the righteous, I've come to call sinners to repentance. You need to recognize that you are out of the realm. You have missed the mark. You are a sinner that needs help. And Christ has came, he died, so that we can have help. So So we must sound the alarm. We need to wake up people and let folks pay attention to everything that's around us, folks. A transformation must take place. Something new has to happen with our attitude, because our attitude denotes our altitude. And when you find yourself dealing with difficult people, we must guard against the pride of the proud, for pride comes before the fall. Don't fool yourself. Jesus is the only answer for our lost society. Let me say that one more time. Jesus the Christ is the only answer for a lost society and a lost people. We all know people whom we find difficult in one way or another. And we're all called upon to deal with difficult people from one time or another. Sometimes we're the actual difficult person we have to deal with when we look in the mirror ourselves. A difficult person may be one that appears to be condescending, belligerent, argumentative, flippant, obtuse, deeply rude, and or selfish, or even a combination thereof. Difficult people seem to know just how to push your button. Come on, somebody. You know I'm telling the truth. They know how to push your buttons, and they know how to stir up trouble. Dealing with difficult people becomes an exercise for us in patience. Dealing with difficult people becomes for us an exercise in love. Agape love, love to the highest degree. Dealing with difficult people becomes an exercise of grace. You have to give someone grace and give them mercy when they really deserve judgment. That's what God did to us. Remember Romans 12, verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment according to the measure of faith God has given you. So when we know we must deal with a difficult person, or we know that we have become that difficult individual, we need to approach the situation with meekness. Many times we approach it with weakness, but we need to approach it with meekness. Meekness is power under control. You think about a stallion and how you're going to put a saddle on a stallion, a wild horse that's usually just running free, has the power to kick you, 2,000 pounds of power with his back legs. How are you going to control such a massive, monstrous, pervasive individual? What makes him meek is a metal bit that's put between his gums and his mouth. That puts pressure on the gums, that whichever way you pull, that's the way it turns. So you control that. Well, the Bible must be our bit that controls us. So when we don't become like wild asses, we don't become like a pack of wild donkeys, come difficult people, a society full of lost people, and a lost society full of difficult, impatient, unloved, selfish, flippant, simply rude, argumentative, condescending, and belligerent people. We need to learn how to love, because love is the key. And isn't it interesting that Galatians 5 tells us you must love your neighbor in the equivalence as you love yourself? We got to learn how to love ourselves even more. We got about 38 minutes, but let me open the line up to those that are on with some comments about love and dealing with difficulty. Mom, you want to start us off? You got anything in regards to that? Mother, are you there?
because she may have to step away for a moment. Marie, how about you?
The topic itself, Michael, I mean, Brother PB, I'm sorry, is, go ahead, you're there now, right?
Michael, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Mother.
Okay. Marie, go ahead, I can wait. I was having a hard time getting my phone off mute, but I can wait till you're done, dear.
No, go ahead. I'm ready. I'm okay.
Okay. Mike, I heard you talking about how God, how Jesus put the, allowed the demons to go into the swine. And that, you know, he was the only, and he is still the only remedy for the stuff that we're talking about today. But we have to really take that another step further. Because over in Luke, it says that he gave us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And so we as saints of God have to get in a position that we can be the ones that are treading on the serpents and the scorpions. We cannot be afraid of what the devil is doing. We must not be ignorant of his devices. And we are the hands and the feet of Jesus in the world now. And so we have to be aware. We have to be aware. Sometimes we're looking for God to light and go from the sky to get stuff done, and we are here to do that. And this is, you know, again, I'm a big one on prayer. Thank God for A.B. Carter, who told me and taught me 15 years ago how to pray. Because a lot of things that we're looking for heaven to do, we have to do by bombarding heaven to get it done. And we have found out today just another level of the evil that is in the world. And most of the church is not even aware of the level that Brother Garvin taught us. I'm telling you now. They don't know.
Yeah.
But now that we are becoming aware, and the Bible said, awake thou that sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life. So we gonna, now we woke, we got to do something. And you know, what can we do? We can start by really getting a serious prayer life going on. Just really, you know, sometimes setting aside extra time. Well, you know, I know we have our daily prayer and our spiritual time with the Lord, and that's necessary, very necessary. But in a situation like this, baby, we're going to have to turn our plate down and spend some extra time in prayer so we can get the mind of Christ about this stuff. Because even in our homes, we need to know what the mind of Christ is and how to combat this. Because like the Tyra taught us, if your kid's 13 years old, nobody, the Facebook and Instagram and all them are not going to help you take care of that kid. And they don't want you to even have parental responsibility over the kid. So, and this is what it is in a lot of our areas. Our culture is not you know, people say this is a Christian nation. No, it's not. No, it's not. Let's be real about it. Running around hollering proud, where, you know, and just like the other day here in Des Moines, one of our legislators from up there on the hill, who happens to be gay, had a session at the library, and they had gay. What are you talking about? Transvestite and drag queens. What I'm trying to say. Had drag queens in there reading books to the kids because they want the kids to be exposed to all manner of what's going on in the city. And they thought this was wonderful. They had it on KCCI News. They had it on Channel 5. Oh, this is a wonderful thing. The transvestites and the cross-dressers are coming to read stories to your kids, your little kids. And folks thought, oh, isn't that great? Everybody clapped their hand. I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah.
But that's the day we live in now. I mean, at the public library, they weren't down back in the boondocks hiding. They was down at the public library, all dressed up in their stuff, reading to the kids. And everybody thought this was wonderful. Had it on the news and everything. This is just wonderful. And I'm like, Lord have mercy. What have we come to?
That's right.
So we have to love the people, but we got to hate the sin. And we can't be sitting around waiting on God to send lightning bolts from heaven. We are now the age of the human agency God is using. And he said he gave us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means will harm us. So we can't be scared. Can't be scared. It's spiritual warfare. And the Lord will help us to love the sin, but hate the sin. So we can really combat some of the stuff in the world.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, man. Very much needed. Marie, you ready? You got something in there?
Yes. Basically, what Mama was saying is so true. In dealing with the world and dealing with what's going on in the world, yes, we do have to pray constantly and always for the children, for ourselves, for everyone, because we are all involved some type of way in a situation. And it's unfortunate that situation took place at the library, because it's like they insulting, my God. And I don't know if that hurts badly. But that's another thing we pray about. We just keep it in prayer and let God will, but deal with them. We know sons and thunders, they are the ones that want the lightning to come down and destroy. But we as children of God have to understand that they too were children of God, the two apostles, they call them sons of thunder. But I'm just saying that basically when we see stuff like that, we have to stay in prayer. We have to say, Lord, have mercy. And they want us not to show our differences and our division with that, and be kind. But I cannot pretend. I just walk away because I don't have anything to say about it, because I will not, you know, I just don't want to, I don't want to pray something like that. That's an insult to God to me. And those are things that go on in our world. Garvin brought up how the most innocent thing for communication, the web became darkness, because people found ways to create negativity to it in ways that we can't imagine, for the kids to see and do and get involved in and participate and actually believe that they are real. They're real incidents that are taking place for them. They go out into the world and they try to emulate that, because I believe their minds are not fully functioning, and because of that they are either, as you so put it, you and your mother put it, when you're trying to fit in and you feel like you've just been left out, you try to gravitate onto something that feels real to you, and that to them could be what is feeling real. And we know the Satan is here, and he's developing all type of tools to take our children, to take everything from God, because he knows he can't deal with God. So he's going to take away the one thing God loves most and dearly, and that's us. That's us. And so him destroying us, it's he's hurting God, and he knows that, and that's what he wants. That's what, because he cannot touch God other than hurting his children. And it's like, that's what he's doing. He's trying to take away each and every one of us individually, because of the fact that he does not want the joy, the happiness, because of his departure. Because he knows he can never go back into heaven. He knows he can never go back into that joy. He can never go back into that peace. So he doesn't want any of us to take part into that also. And we have to understand God's word. That's something we hold on. That's our life. It's nothing idle about any word in that Bible. That is teaching us how he expects us to love, what he expects from us. And, Michael, as you talk, people are, you know, difficult. People are different. People are all these things. But then we have to ask ourselves on a daily, God, give me strength. Because we're not going to be able to deal with everybody all the time in the most perfect way. So when you don't, when you meet that person, that's when you go to God and say, Lord, give me strength, because I don't know how to deal with this. And that's having a relationship. That's being honest, and that's being true. And that's being, you know, telling God, I don't know what I would have done if I go to a library and my head looks here and there. I don't know what I would have done. I don't even want to imagine myself in that situation, but I cannot applaud it. I cannot applaud something so appalling. I just cannot do that. So what we have to do is understand this world is for all of us, all the different things that are going on that we do not like, but it's not too big for God. That's why we have to continue, stay on our knees, as Mom said, talk to God, pray to God, and just ask him for, you know, directions and how to deal with this, because we know God is in front. He's always there. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us, so he's there. But we have to understand what are we to do. And in prayer life, to give us the answers, but we have to understand who God is. Omnipresent, omniscient, he is everything. He's everywhere at one time. He knows all things. Go to the power, and the power will help us through this. So you're right. It is a situation. And Garvin, that stuff this morning, I've been asking God in prayer, the Lord, because when you watch the news, as Michael said in the morning before you go to work, I don't watch it. It's on in my house as I'm getting ready, and you can hear. And sometimes you have to stop and say, what? Because you cannot believe that happened. And when you see that and you hear that, and Garvin, you brought out children, you have to ask, what's going on with our kids, our little children, our love? You know, I know adults get involved in this too, but right now let's deal with the children who do not know any better and the children who've been left alone, the children who've been going through some drama, something personal happened, something in their lives, something got them out there acting like that. So then I understand now what you brought up this morning, Garvin, is the beginning of everything. So thank you for that. And we just got to go to God and say, now we know. Now we have an understanding. What can we do? And I thank you for bringing that to my attention. Thank you.
Yeah, very good comments, honey. I appreciate that very much. When we, you know, when our innocence is taken away, this is what I'm really looking at. I mean, think about a child, a novice, a babe that comes into this world in the arms of a mother, in the arms of that parent, and they're cleaned off, and they're here, they're pure, they're sinless, they're moral, they're decent, they're righteous, they're upright, they're wholesome, they're chaste, they're modest, they're a virgin, right? They're literally impeccable. When you find something that's guilt-free, come on, somebody. When you find something of innocence that's blameless, that's literally in the clear, that when someone mentions your name, you know they're irreproachable. Not the character of this individual has not done this. They're unimpeachable. And then you find that you have a society of traps, hackers, or whatever you want to call it, the dark web, that wants to take their innocence and turn it into something that's negative, turn the guiltless into guilty, turn the sinless into sinful, you know, and turn those that have been naive and trusting and guarded into being worldly, malignant, you know, unsafe. I don't know about you, but that messes with the very fiber of my being. It's one thing when you have someone that has done or has agreed to be a part of something, whether I agree with it or not. They have made a choice of knowledgeability to be a part of something. But when you attack the innocent, even in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus, he says, you know, the attacking of innocent blood, thou shalt not kill. You don't kill innocent blood. When you take away the innocent of a child, you have murdered them. You have set them up. You've given them a life sentence. You've set them up for a life of destruction. Only God can keep us from that. Only God. And it's just so much.
We got 22 minutes left. Satire, any comments today?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. So, again, I want to thank Brother Garvin and you, my cousins, for this platform today. Learned something. And what Aunt Susan said was quite true. This is spiritual warfare. And something that we talked about yesterday, because I talk about myself. I don't talk about other people, right? I was off yesterday. Something happened, and I realized what it was now. Like, and when you were reading the scripture about, you know, the demon being cast into the pigs, I see that that's what happened yesterday. And I see where there's more opportunities for growth on my end. And after talking to my aunt, some things came into my remembrance. And this ties into what we were talking about today, but I remembered 1 Peter 5:8, where he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist the steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." So I feel like that right there is the answer to what we were talking about, right?
Yeah.
Even with my situation yesterday, I wasn't sober and I wasn't vigilant and I had cracks. And if you give the enemy an inch or even a millimeter, he going to come in and bust that thing wide open and try to take over.
Yeah.
So you can't allow any concessions for the enemy or his imps. That's going back to the portals. Portals can come in different aspects, video games, television programs, people. The things that you open yourself up to. So when you were talking about, you know, the things that go on TV, I don't do that for my mental stability, because I get overwhelmed very easy. I can't look and see what the news is talking about. Right, because when I stopped watching TV, it was during the era of gloom and doom. It was nothing ever good on the news. Even social media, I take breaks from social media when it gets to be too much. I'm very good at removing things that cause me problems, because I feel like all of those things are distraction. So if we are not covered and we entertain those things too long, and when I say we, I'm talking about me, it can defocus people and taking your eyes off the goal of, you know, what we should be focused on as opposed to what they're trying to show us. Because if our hope and our faith is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, these things shouldn't be able to shake us, right? So that's all I have to say and to remind you, cousin, to cut up that onion, cover it with the organic honey, let it sit, and start taking the syrup, okay?
Yes.
And put some turmeric in it.
So, Tyra, he told me that. I went like, what?
Mm-hmm.
he said, do what? He said, she told me to. I'm like, okay, go ahead. I never heard of it.
I know my root medicine.
I know that's like what he said too. Okay, because he needs something.
I know why it works based off of what, you know, the onions, the probiotic, and the, you know, the honey is the colder, and you know, you have the raw honey, it gives you the nutrients and stuff. But yeah, it's not a problem. We'll work on. I got to do this raw honey.
It works. She had me doing it. It works.
Yeah, she told me. I got the wrong honey, though. I got the one in the bears. I need the raw honey. So I got to get
the bear and the turmeric. two spoons of turmeric.
Oh, turmeric I use all the time. There's no problem with that.
Yeah, he used turmeric all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I appreciate the health benefits as well there to the end. We got 17 minutes left. I want to turn it over to Brother Garvin for any last comments. Man, you put together an awesome show today, Doc, and the information was impeccable. It was detailed. You made me have to stop two or three times just to be able to digest, you know, because when you're looking at these topics and you're looking at these things and you want to be a help to society, you have to be honest. You got to hear what it is, what's gory, what you got to get to the root of it. And that's why I asked you, you know, give us a timeline, do it, you know, and just put the butter on the bread. One thing you're going to be very detailed. Eyes have been opened up to a few things today that just weren't part of my upbringing. But I know they were around. It also shows me that, you know, you can get around some of this stuff if you are guarded and protected. And so I think that's the solution that we get out of this. Is that it's the parents' job is to make sure that they do, at whatever cost they guard and protect the innocent, their children, because you know you got to give them back to God who gave them as a gift to you. So, Brother Garvin, it's in your hands, man. What any comments you have?
Again, I have some kind of comments. I'd just like to say that I know that some of these, you know, some of these measures, you know, that you might either have to put in place or even choose not to put in place because they seem kind of harsh in terms of, you know, being a helicopter parent. You know, it might not make the parent very happy and it might not make the child very happy. But as I remember, sometimes I remember my elders used to say that they would rather I cry now than them cry later.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so wise thing, very wise,
you know,
thing.
Unfortunately, I mean, in this whole situation that Mother Holmes was talking about with these people, these drag queens coming in the library, it's just awful. It's just it's ridiculous, and she's right. This is not a Christian nation, not really. I mean, we have that reputation, and maybe we used to be, but now it seems like the balance has gone against us because for true Christians, if we try to have a Bible study, a traditional Bible study in a public school, you know, they won't allow us to do it, but they'll let us have all kinds of witch meetings and witch covens and gay pride and all kind of demon worship and all kind of nonsense. They will let go on anything but Christianity, anything but something to worship Jesus. And, you know, the Bible says clearly in Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It might sound old-fashioned to some folks, but I mean, this is what we need to do if we want to be godly and if we want to make it to heaven, if we want to have God's spirit in us and among us. We can't be going for all this nonsense.
Well, old-fashioned works because I made it. I can say that much. I made it through. Whatever might have been old-fashioned, I made it through. And so old-fashioned works.
Amen.
So I've asked your wife to put together a thing on fraud protection. That's really what she's into, and man, we came up with a few ideas that she wants to work on that. So whenever she gets that together, we're gonna have her present that, and then we'll have it coupled with the two of you being able to do the, you know, being able to show us ways of how these things come in phishing. With the pH, not the F, and things that happen
right
in society that we, you know, that we don't know. You get emails or you get, text messages, scam and spam and all this other stuff you know, and you think, you know, it got somebody else, got somebody, a friend of yours name on it, whatsoever else, and there's no more than a hacker somewhere in another country, you know, and so what we can do about some of those things, I think is another good show that we're going to be trying to pull up together. But again, I just want to take this time, man, to just thank you for the time and diligence that you put into this. You've helped me. You've helped me to see some things, because as a preacher, you know, that did not get caught up in a lot of things. You know, a lot of things that I have to deal with is eye-opening to me. And I'm able to talk with people and about that stuff and work in those regards. But it also takes someone that's true and worthy about this stuff to bring it back to our remembrance, to help us with the timeline, which is what you've done. And I will go back through this, listen to it, and I dissect everything. You guys will hear a sermon on this that pertains to this as we go forward pretty soon. I want to thank you. I can't thank you enough, Garvin, for just your knowledge thing and then being able to show. Because, I mean, I remember playing those games. I remember those things that never, and this is what it is, never thought it would lead to where we're at today. You know, I love playing Space Invaders and you're shooting the aliens in another planet. Didn't think that alien that we're shooting now is my next door neighbor. And then now it looks visual just like that, you know. I love playing Pac-Man where I'm eating up all the dots and getting to the bonus points and whatsoever else. Not recognizing that all these dots that we're taking up are marks that end up being individuals that we're taking down in gang relatively situations. So the vision has skewed, the reality has skewed, and the only hope is for us to get back to the common denominator for mankind from heaven to human, which is Jesus Christ. And so I just want to thank you.
That's it.
Mom, any last comments? And then we're going to have prayer.
No, it does not.
Well, I'm appreciative of Brother Garvin because we have to be careful as a church that we don't live in the 17th century while all this stuff is going on up here, you know, and people are looking to the future now. And we still operating back in the 15th and 16th century. But he has brought us up to date because you cannot deal with our young people on current things if you don't know what you're talking about. And they'll just sit there and look at you, and they'll smile and nod their head, you know. But they know you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be disrespectful, but they're just going to let you talk, and they like, you know, when are they going to get done? They're looking at their watch, trying to find out when you're going to get done, because they know you don't have a clue what they're really into. But he has brought to the forefront today some things that those that are dealing with youth ministry especially can, you know, can use. I mean, can use. Like, you know, your brother Mose, he is a youth president for the state of Nebraska, Church of God in Christ. And so this is information, he's not here now, but this is information I'm going to make sure he listens to. Because as he's working with those young men, and of course with the Boy Scouts, you know, he's big in the Boy Scouts. Well, these are the kids that's listening to stuff. And so I'm going to make sure he hears what Brother Garvin had to say today. So that when he gets in, you know, with some of these kids and what have you, that he'll know what they're talking about. And be able to minister to them in a way that'll be meaningful because they know you know what you're talking about. You know, right. I can go to some of these kids and say, now that's demonic. And they're going like, okay, grandma, okay. You know, they ain't paying me no attention. But somebody that knows about gaming and then tells them, no, that's demonic. And this is why. Then they would be able to minister to that young person, maybe bring them out from doing those things. So we just need this information, and Brother Garvin, you just did a great job of bringing us up to date. Because I mean, it's, you know, the church sometimes is way behind culture in ministry, but you brought us up to date today, and I thank you for that because we can't, you know, we got to minister to the youth as well as to the adults, and if we don't know what we're talking about, the kids is going to ignore us. So thank you so much for that information.
Okay, so we got
to talk. Of course.
Also got a, I got a messenger from Jimmy. They're down in La Villa right now, and Lois and Phyllis and Buddy and I think Michelle and Jimmy and whoever else is down there with them. They took a van down there, and they're going back and forth to the graves and putting the flowers and stuff down as we normally do. And Jimmy got a chance to lead the prayer. He was letting me know that he was leading the prayer today. I'm very proud of him for that, being able to hang in there in regards to that. So we want to keep them in prayer. All right. Let's see. We got 7 minutes left. Marie, any last comments? Couple minutes.
No, I'm just echoing what my mom just said. Basically, like I said, we begin on our hands and our knees and we ask God for why and how, and then when God teaches us and show us, Brother Garvin, you taught me a lot today. Now we have to go back to God and ask what can we do with this information that we have. And we cannot think what little bit we do is only that's only a little bit. No, everything that God shows us, we have to do, because I cannot say I didn't know. But before I could say I didn't know. But now I can't say that because I do know. So thank you for giving me the wisdom that I need. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I feel the same way. Tyra, any last comments?
No, just thank you, Brother Garvin, for this lesson. Suggestions for the time. Perhaps the internet would be a good topic at some point.
Would you say people the internet?
Yeah, the internet. To keep people.
Well, Garvin, that's your field as well.
Yeah, informed. Also, just to remind you, prayer requests for Baby Madden and Baby Madden Rich and Baby Tekken Famous. I got a text message about 20 minutes ago, and my friend said Baby Madden is touch and go. So we're just going to ask for the Lord's will to be done. Pray for myself. As I told my auntie yesterday, I don't know what's going on, but my hair is falling out. So
stress. Probably too much stress.
That's probably what it is. So just prayer request and for everybody on the line. Enjoy y'all today.
Okay. Thank you so very much. Marie, you said you got one more thing you want to talk about? Marie?
I was just thinking, yes, all this demonic stuff is going on in the world. And, you know, because he's the prince of the world, Satan. But we know who has the power of all things, and that's God. That's what we put our trust in. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to God in prayer. Once again, we just want to thank Brother Garvin. And I want to thank all of you, the listening audience as well. I want to thank my mother, thank my wife, thank my cousin Tyra, Brother Garvin, and just everyone else that's on listening, that can get in, couldn't get in, whatever. This is such a well-needed topic. And you see it's taken us the entire 3 hours. We have left just under 4 minutes left before the show is done. But I want to go to God in prayer for so important that we talk with him about some of the social ills that we're dealing with today. Bow with me, if you would. Kind, righteous Father, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we come to you today thanking you for who you are and what you do in our lives. Thanking you for this information. We're in the World Wide Web. We're in the information highway. But I'm thanking you for navigating an individual, a dear soul, a loving brother, and a sincere individual that is able to put the butter on the bread and help someone like myself who has somewhat of a disconnected understanding of some of the social ills that's out there. And not saying that with negativity, thanking God for everything that he's allowed me to be, but recognizing that we have to continue to talk to a dying world, and so more informed helps us to be helpful, to be able to make more impact with the situations that's there. So we're not looked at as just talking heads, but we're actually talking to somebody that does empathize with the situation. So thank him for his due diligence today, and I'm asking you to continue to bless him and his lovely wife. In all endeavors, he continued to put this together while working on the final stages of his master's degree. He has about 5 or 6 weeks left, or less than 8 weeks left, Father, and we're asking that you allow him to finish strong. But we thank you for him. And after he gets completed, then we'll ask him to come back and do something about the Internet, as Sister Tyra talked about, giving us some more information on that, because the more informed we are, the better off we're going to be. Come to you in regards to my mother. I should continue to bless her and strengthen her in ways she stands in need of. I'm thanking you for her even on this day, and the wonderful comments and definitely the wisdom that just permeates and pours out of her. I'm just so thankful and so fortunate to be her son. I always tease. I say I'm the number one son, but I am number one son in position. And so I'm just so thankful for that. We're praying for all my other brothers and sisters, et cetera, just blessing the ways they stand in need of my entire family. And those that are dealing with the holiday weekend travels and et cetera, I ask you to bring them. My family is down in La Villa right now, decorating the stones of our soldiers and family members that's passed on, or mama's laid, my grandmother's laid, and my Uncle Scooty and all those guys are there. So we're asking you, Father, to continue to be with us, be with my wife. We're asking you to continue to bless her and strengthen her in ways she knows she stands in need of. And then we're praying also for family there, and then praying for Satira. She's asked for prayer for herself and for the two babies and the friend, two preemies that just had, and one is on the cusp. So, Father, we're asking you to be with that scenario as you see fit. We're praying today that you are, we know that you are the epitome of everything that we can do. And we're asking you, Father, to continue to look, to help us to look to the hills and with, come with our help. Our help must come to you. We're asking the Holy Spirit to continue to rise within us, to continue to indicate within our emotions and indicate within our mental capacity in the temporal lobes of our brain to help us to recognize the things that we need to speak up for and the things that we need to be more in tune about, to recognize the destruction that's in front of us. Not that even though it may be packaged in marketing and packaged as something that's pure, it's no more than a wolf in sheep's clothing. Help us to be more sensitive to the desensitivity that's being put out here, and help us to be more alert and more prepared for the race that you have for us. We love you. We adore you. This is our prayer today in Jesus' holy and divine name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Okay.